Hello everyone, welcome to Animation Nation. I'm your host, Primetime, here with the latest news around animation and pop culture. Hopefully everyone's having a wonderful day, no matter where you are around the world. So far we have many news, so far we have provided this week. Last week we didn't post any episode last time since it was a bit of a lackluster for any news. Didn't have enough coverage, but we have something that's very interesting today throughout this week. So let's get started with your daily news. First one comes from Yahoo.com. And it's an update from the Justin Roiland situation, where apparently it's been confirmed that Justin Roiland has been cleared to the domestic violence charges. Rick and Morty boss calls the entire process shameful, which, from what I heard, the Rick and Morty co-creator Justin Roiland, who was recently dropped by Adult Swim and Hulu over a series of domestic charges, has been cleared of those charges, our sister site from Variety.com. Now, according to Justin, he did on his Twitter account, he posted a statement which says, "I have always known that these claims were false. I have never had any doubt for any of these that this day would come." Roiland wrote that Wednesday on social media that, "I'm thankful for what this case has been dismissed, but at the same time, I am deeply shaken by the horrible lies and was reported during this process." He continued, Most of all, I am disappointed that so much people have been quick to judge without any knowing of the facts. Based on solely on the words of an embittered ex trying to bypass due to process of how they call have me canceled. That has been succeed and even peripherally is shameful. However, now that the legal cases has ended and determined to move forward and focus more on creative projects and restoring name by my good name. Roiland has charged with one count of domestic battery with corporal injury and one count of false imprisonment and by mace, violence, fraud, and deceit, and all connected to the incident the alleged occurred back in 2020 with an unidentified woman. When news of those charges became public in 2023, Adult Swim officially ended its association with Roiland. It was reported that Time Rick and Morty was expected to forge ahead without Roiland, recasting the titular characters he has voiced over six seasons. These charges also led to Hulu cut ties with Roiland, ending his involvement with the two animated series, Solar Opposites, and Roiland's co-created Qualaman on Roiland executive producer. TV Line also has commented on Hulu and comment. I also like to mention he was also been let go, or at least he resigned from his gaming company Squatch Games earlier this year. And also, I would also like to give out a statement from Variety, since Variety contained a statement from one of Justin Roiland's lawyers, which says it's a district attorney office, a spokeswoman by the name Kimberly Edis, which she mentioned, and I quote, "We dismissed the charges today as we result of having insignificant evidence to prove that the case beyond a reasonable doubt." That's what she said during this conference, and it goes further than that. However, he may be cleared on one charge. There's also another charge that he still needs to deal with, which is one charge of felony count of domestic battery with corporal injury and one felony and all that sort of stuff. He pleaded not guilty to the charges 2020. Now he's dealing with this one, which should be his pre-trial will be testing and is scheduled on April 27th for that. So he's not off the hook that easily from what we heard so far. He is let go from the charges. There was no evidence with the first one. So it's positive news for Roiland. Now, here's the thing. Aside from that, there has been many other things I've heard so far over the past month or two or so, whatever, about Mr. Roiland. There has been a lot of people who he worked under, or at least who worked over him, whatever, have said that they've been dealing with Roiland's shenanigans during the office of Rick and Morty, how he doesn't feel like doing Rick and Morty ever since season 2, I believe is what they said. They say that Roiland never even touched to go into the writer's room, claiming that his vision does not even partake in theirs. There's also times of where they notice that he's in the building where by two things, either he has his dogs within the building or he has a remote. They can hear the remote control toy, toy car. They hear from the side of the writer's room. So that much of detail, it still needs to be speculative as true about this situation, but we have some vague evidence to see if there's much that supports that that argument there. There also has been investigation by Cartoon Network and Adult Swim, claiming that there has evidence that Mr. Roland has did one account of sexual assault within the employees during the production of season 3. That has been yet to be speculated by anyone else, but that's what we hear from the company. Aside from that, there has also been tensions between Roiland and his co-partner, Dan Harmon, which ever since, I believe it was season 3, where Dan Harmon hired his writing staff for his previous show, Community, which Roiland did not like, because apparently it pertains different ideas than his. And so for the course of Rick and Morty, they have some type of feud within each other, so there has been a lot of feud during this time with Mr. Roiland. Overall, and there's, oh yeah, by the way, there's still speculation of him, a few texts from minors that we have seen so far, we've been seeing so far throughout the internet. It's still yet to be true, but we haven't had any live actual evidence for that sort of stuff, but we still need to put this at least a theory, so to speak, in my opinion, or at least something that can be used as evidence, but you see it's actual, if it's factual or not. So that's a bit tricky to use, honestly, because sometimes there's people who like to use people's known name and just get it for the clout or something like that. It's a harsh reality. But for me, I still don't trust Roiland. I'm just saying, look, if he's proven not guilty, that's okay with me. I don't mind, but I still don't like Roiland from what I heard so far from the few employees who did not like working for him. He doesn't interact with the writer's room, and his beef with Dan Harmon. Now, I'm not a Dan Harmon fan, but I think his writing style is okay, or at least good so far. I'm just like, he's a good guy, you know. But you have to understand that you are working in an industry. You have to deal with these people, honestly. And you have to become a leader, even if you don't like to deal with these people. You have to get used to it. And as far as I know, I've seen a few interviews, or at least a few behind the scenes of Rick and Morty, where I know it's a skit. There were times where Roiland was acting a bit weird. Like, we all know, or at least some people do know, that whenever he records as Rick, he takes a few shots of alcohol just to feel the sense of the character. That's okay, just to sense the character, but I think it's a bit risky if you gotta work with other people around you, and you never know if you went too far with drinking alcohol and started rubbing and saying something like partial stuff. Another thing I saw from a few of the behind the scenes footage is where he tends to spy on people over the building with binoculars in the streets, but I'm not sure if that was a gag or that's actually true. From behind the scenes footage, I mean, so far he seems to be acting like a little child within the studio, and I don't really trust Roland for reacting in something like this childish manner. Like, you can be childish all you want, but if you're just gonna be throwing out tantrums and not working with people, not people associating with, because you don't like them, and not to mention, he also mentioning that he doesn't like working on Rick and Morty as much since it's been a few seasons ago. I could understand that, working for Rick and Morty for at least almost a decade. It can be a bit tiring. At the same time, you keep yourself motivated, honestly. You have to keep yourself motivated, because that's the show that brought you up in the first place. That is the show. You have to remind yourself, as a creator, you have to remind yourself, that is the show that made you who you are today. And you cannot forget that. You wouldn't have Solar Opposites. You wouldn't have Koala Man, which co-created by Zach, who made Smiling Friends with Psychic Pebbles. And you have to understand this as a creator. Without this show, you wouldn't be who you are today. You went to interviews with a few people. You met Alex Hirsch, creator of Gravity Falls. You went through many other ceremonies and got everything else what you wanted. All because you done a short that was aired on the original 101 channel, which was a Doc and Marty parody. Without that, and without the development of Rick and Morty by Adult Swim, you wouldn't have all these riches before. I'm just saying. I don't mind if these charges are going through. I mean, at this point, he probably is a rich man ever since Rick and Morty has been popular. I remember a month ago, my sister bought me like a Rick and Morty t-shirt. This is before the allegations came out, so... Actually, it was 2 weeks ago before the allegations came out. I was like, oh, that's a cool Rick and Morty shirt. 2 weeks later, I heard this news and I was like, oh crap, I can't wear this. I can't wear this t-shirt because this man does some horrendous stuff in these allegations, and now I get to wear it because we have some actual news that someone on Twitter who says they are now directing Rick and Morty. Someone is directing Rick and Morty to be the replacement for Roiland for the direction of the series. So that's just a director's spot. But we haven't got any confirmation for any replacement of a voice actor. There are a few potential ones. People are rooting for this one guy who did a Rick and Morty impression over at TikTok. So there might be speculations that he might do it. But so far, these allegations are going insane. I heard people are mutual by this information. Some people like this, some people don't like it. People still find him calling him a creep or something like that. For me, I just think that he's a bit more childish in a wrong way. That kind of rubs people off, especially the way you treat your employees. That's the thing that's really concerning. So we have to wait and see for April 27th for his pre-trial. In the jury for your second charge. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure this trial is not gonna be broadcast or any of sort of stuff like that, or pictures or anything else. So I'm assuming which is just gonna be vague information. We just have to wait until information more from Mr. Roiland or anyone else who was involved in his trial jury. So we have to wait and see. So he has his next trial coming up almost at the end of April, so I'll keep you guys in mind on that when that happens. So I don't know if you guys like this information from Mr. Roiland or not, but as far as I know, he seems to be going strong so far as I know. Now, our next story for today comes from Adobe Law, by CNBC.com, that Adobe launches Firefly Generative AI, which lets users type to edit images. Adobe is entering the generative AI field, launching Firefly, which is a company that said it will integrate into its executive suits and productions. The product will generate content brushes, variations on existing images, potentially transform photos and videos based on the user's prompts. Firefly will be launched as a public beta with text effects tools as well as the first available model. Adobe on Tuesday has launched an artificial intelligence, aka AI, tool called Firefly that will let users type commands to quickly modify images. The first Firefly model is focused on creation of images and text effects. A simple video from Adobe includes a product demo for a generative variations options. For example, by lighting an element in a multi-layer work of art, a lighthouse in the demo video, Adobe Firefly uses AI to generate a different variations of the lighthouse. In another example, if you guys didn't get that one, I'm just saying. Another example is Adobe shows how one might take a picture of a summer scene and type in, and I quote, change scene to winter day, which to alter images without any editing by the user. Firefly can automatically change the photo or user is working on by using AI generative to create a paintbrush based on something already in the image. Adobe can produce comes a key inflection, sorry about that. Both Adobe and AI, more broadly, the company has spent around $20 billion to acquire the design to tool of Figma in September, and said at the time it would be integrate features from their other products into Figma. Adobe said Firefly will launch first as a private data. AI investment has accelerated since the explosion of OpenAI's ChatGPT, OpenAI and Stable Diffusion, another AI organization, both other generative AI image products. Now, Adobe Firefly will place an emphasis on giving creators an opportunity to benefit from your skills and creative and protect your work. The company already offers non-AI platforms to do so. Now, I'd like to restate this. Also, this article also mentioned, I'm glad they said this, that for imaging technologies such as DALL-E or Stable Diffusion, concerns has been raised about the model stealing artist content, regenerating it and presenting it without any credit or permission to the creator. Now, I would like to report that 2 weeks ago, there has been a statement from the US government that AI does not follow the laws of copyright use. So if, according to Cartoon Brew, I should have brought this 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry for that, but I would like to report that. You know what this means? For all you AI artists who like to steal people's art by typing fonts, you are not protected by copyright use, meaning you are actually stealing the artist, their art style, for your own work, your commission, without even asking them permission to use it. You guys are screwed. Thank you, US government. You guys actually did something for once that I really like. I'm just saying, alright? Now, when this article came out about Adobe Firefly, creator of the Star vs. Forces of Evil, an Oscar-winning animator, Darren Navsy, she mentioned this on her Twitter that she is very concerned about this sort of technology because it will replace jobs when it comes to background uses and lighting. I agree with her. Same does with AI-generated art. This is the type of technology that it will potentially replace jobs. I understand there's some people are saying that, including my mentor, who mentions that, you know, as much as AI is pretty terrible, there might be a few other uses to go around to make your life a bit easier without having doing everything all for you with AI. So this might be a little bit beneficial. Well, there is still some speculations that it's still going to be replacing jobs. And, you know, we need a lot of people who are very talented artists, very creative people that still need jobs in the industry. And something like this is a good opportunity to let people know that this has potential to harm jobs and businesses for people. As much as I'm not a political channel or anything else, I'm just saying. But the only thing I would say is that, you know, sometimes where the government, or at least the President of the United States, mentions that we are making more and more jobs every single year. Well, here's the example of a job being taken away by an AI generative computer. If you gotta make jobs, prevent something that takes away their jobs. I'm just saying, okay, Mr. President, or at least anyone in the Oval Office or something like that. I'm just saying, okay? This is a good example that you need to pay attention to this. Instead of giving Miss Mian Kaling, the person behind Velma, the voice of Velma, apparently what we heard from Fox News that she was given a Medal of National of the Art by the President of the United States, as well as other writers who are involved with Velma as well. So, just a quick rant on that one. I don't mind. If she wins, whatever, I don't care. Her show's still crap. I fell asleep on 2 episodes already, and I just go back and just watch Scooby-Doo and Zombie Island already. I think I already did an episode on that, on Velma review, but I don't know if I did, but this is what I'm just saying on Velma. It's crap. I don't like it. I don't see the appeal of it. I still don't like it. I don't care if you got the president's approval or a medal for that stuff. I mean, the man has dementia or something like that, or people just making fun of him for just sleeping all the time. But whatever, I'm just saying, not a political channel, but I'm just doing some light commentary with the general public thinking so far with Mr. Biden or something like that. But overall, this is something really important. I remember a few weeks ago with the Animation Guild gave out a statement where Adobe, if you sign up for their cloud subscription, they didn't mention that you have an option to have the content you make on their platform permission for them to any use. So I recommend you to go, if you have Adobe Cloud, go to your settings, and you should have some permission around that says Adobe company has a permission to use any of your artwork for any future stuff that the company allowed to use. Turn that off, because potentially they might use your artwork for their AI generator program. So that's what I did automatically on the spot. They have no permission on my art, no permission on any backgrounds or anything else I do. They can't have all my information for now. All right, that's a little warning. If you guys want to do that, go ahead. I recommend it. But overall, I'm glad people are like Darren Dempsey and other ones who are actually bringing the situation up to light and at least talk about with the guild and everyone else about the situation going on Adobe. Because Adobe, everyone uses Adobe. Even if people say that it's not that popular anymore, people still use Adobe for other things like art, filming, editing, any other sort of things when it comes to entertainment and other stuff. People still use it. I use Photoshop a lot. Sometimes I use Premiere a lot. I like Adobe. However, you need to keep things in mind to try not to have this company do some rational things that hurts your job or any people's job and careers. It will be a downfall for everything else. And I'm just saying, it's weird. But we have to make this brought to light, because a lot of people are having their stuff being taken by AI, AI art bros and all that sort of stuff. That's the buzz I keep hearing, referring to these people, AI bros. Like, come on, man, AI is the future, you know what I mean? You don't have to draw or type or anything. You can just do all the types of stuff you want to do, man. Like, shut the hell up. You're stealing art from other artists. The AI art is just taking art from people's artwork and just typing it without even their permission. Plus, the United States already mentions that AI generated art is not protected by copyright use. It's not being made by a human being. It's being made by a computer. So you're gonna get in fucking trouble if someone caught you making art from their art style from a automated generator program that you type a few little sentences on it. Same goes with ChatGPT. I just got a word from, I think it was from Dana Terrace, the creator of Valhalla, I believe, that she meant, or is it something else? I don't know who mentioned that, I think it was her, that the Animation Guild writing organization is now being concerned for their writers ever since the release of ChatGPT. Another AI software, which I believe people still know what it is at this point, where you type something, it types it for you, makes at least a paragraph or a sentence or anything else. A lot of college students are using this program for their college work. And I'm pretty sure almost all universities are aware of that. I'm just saying, hint, hint, nudge. But people are already going on that to just say, hey, we need people on the writing staff to be protected because there's something that could take away their jobs. Companies need to be aware that they have the power to take away people's jobs and Mr. President or anyone else who's in charge of the U.S. Department of Jobs or something like that, if you want to have people keep having jobs, especially these sorts of people, I might as well recommend to at least kind of like, you know, have some restrictions or at least some type of regulations on these AI generated programs. Alright? I'm just saying. Heck, it could take away my job, you know? It could take away my job as well. Someone could just like don't do this too. Someone could take, someone to just put a sample on my, on my voice and just pretend it's me and like, hey, I'm Animation Nation. I say stuff that I say stuff, and this is my podcast or whatever. Actuality, please don't do that. Please don't do that. I will not give you guys permission to AI generate my voice and pretend it was me. For goofs and laughs, yes, but if you take things a bit too far, that gets me like canceled or anything else, like in trouble. Don't use my voice. Please don't. I recommend to not use it. Please, I beg of you. But overall, yeah, this has been a much more serious situation than we thought before, and I can't believe this thing is already taking over already so far. So I might have some other stuff. So AI is pretty good overall, but there has some a few things that really needs to be restricted, honestly, and you can harm anyone else, the potential or anything. So please use it wisely, honestly, when it comes to AI generated stuff. Heck, it could also take people's jobs. I mean, I'm just saying. Now, our next story for today, folks, I know I've been talking so long, but it's been really fucking important, honestly. My story for today comes from DigitalSpy.com that after long years, Pokemon reveals ending for Ash and Pikachu as their final episode airs over at Japan. Pokemon has revealed its farewell to Ash, Ketchum, and Pikachu. Also, I would like to mention the spoilers ahead. This gives details to the episode, so please keep in mind about that. Anyways, Ash and Pikachu as the duo's final episode aired. The iconic pair have been on the scene for over 25 years, but their lifelong ambitions was met last year when Ash became the official world champion and the very best that like no one ever was. Haha, that is very fucking funny. Anyways, in a bittersweet finale, the pair waved goodbye to Brock and Misty on their way back to Palutena, where Ash is reunited with his family in his childhood home. On the way to Professor Oak's lab, he bumps into an old friend, Tracy, who had been working on an assistant to the professor. After reaching the lab, and Ash is tasked to researching for a missing Charmander, one of the few starting Pokemon available in the fledgling trainers. There it comes to a full circle as he finds the lost creatures in a cave, recalling the moment in his past where he rescues what would become his Charizard, which I remember that one's very sweet. After a altercation with Team Rocket, Ash spends quietly moments rocketing with his newfound success when becoming a Pokemon Master in Tails. As the end of the Rainbow Light Sky shows up, Ash and Pikachu decided to set off the new horizons with Ash ditching his old footwear and replacing them with new shoes. In the final scene, according to comicbook.com, the pair come to a fork on the road and undecided about the route to take. Ash tossed a stick up into the air, leading to the elements deciding what their path for them, walking into the distance, and says the words, "Next time, new beginning," appear on the screen instead of the "to be continued" thing. So that's something very new. Whistles, this may be the last journey of the iconic duo. Fans have been waiting long enough to be... But anyways, fans won't be able to wait that long for the next fix of Pokemon The Horizons and Courage near air in the near future. Finally got the last episode, boys. We finally got the last episode of Pokemon with Ash. Now, they didn't mention details so about Team Rocket. Team Rocket did featured in this episode, and they try to catch Pikachu again, but at the end of the day, they failed again, once again. And the way they, you know, they blast off again, they actually accept their fate, and they just fly away, honestly, as Pikachu electrocute them. It was a bittersweet ending for Team Rocket, but, you know, so they had a bit of send-off, and I'm curious what they're gonna do with Giovanni, their boss, saying that, "You guys didn't catch Pikachu I wanted for the last time," or something like that. But I'm just saying, is concluded. Good ending. Like it. I'm glad they gave the send off Ash for at least 2 decades. 2 fucking decades. Finally, he is officially conclude his journey, at least we all know, for our sake. Now, we all know there's a new Pokemon series coming up with a new person. Am I going to watch it? I'll be honest with you, in my opinion, hell no. I'm not going to keep up with Pokemon. That's the last time I'm going to keep up with Pokemon. I don't care if people say, oh, Ash came back on the new series, or he made an appearance, he's all grown up, or Misty and Brock came in, and whatever. I don't know, man. I'm not going to keep up with Pokemon the series anymore, since now Ash is grown up or whatever. I'm sorry. I'm not going to keep up with that. But am I still going to play the games? Maybe, as long as you have some good titles. Or not good titles. At least they have, like, if the game, the next game is good. Last game was mediocre and with a lot of glitches, so bleh. But overall, I'm glad Ash was able to finally get to the conclusion he needs, as well as Pikachu, which to this day he still hasn't evolved to Raichu. I'm surprised about that, honestly. And I'm glad that that this journey has come to fruition. I'm still curious about Team Rocket, though. Like, did he get like a promotion or something? Did anything happen with them? Did Giovanni got angry at them? But I'm glad I seen a few clips from one of my YouTubers talking about it. And, you know, I'm really glad that this thing has come to into fruition, if that makes sense. And I feel like as if for many movies, many titles, many new legendary Pokemon, it comes to a conclusion and something for a new beginning. And I'm glad it's all coming together with that sort of stuff. And it's something that I've been waiting for not entire life, but I'm glad that everything's conclusion. And I'm pretty sure they already ran out of ideas to do with Ash so far, because this man has been 10 years old for at least past 2 decades. At least bump him up a little bit of age for a bit, okay? I know you've gone through many different designs and such, but you want to bump him up a little bit, okay? Give him like at least a bit more age enough, right? 10 years old, he's like Peter Pan, you know? Doesn't age. Just saying. But for now, this has been a good conclusion already, so I'm glad this sort of stuff has been going to fruition with Ash so far, and I'm pretty sure if you guys are so happy. I know it's aired in Japan, so there might be other ways to go to see this episode. If you guys are waiting for like the conclusion here in the US, you might as well wait for that on Netflix, since the Pokemon is officially on Netflix instead of any other TV program. So excuse me, about that sort of stuff. But you guys are waiting for the dub, I don't mind, go ahead. That's up to you if you guys want to wait for that. So that's a thing. Now, our last story for today, this is really important, this affects my job, comes from InsideRadio.com, that California considers journalism usage fee on big tech radio could get some of the proceedings. What does this mean? Efforts in Washington to pass a law that gives local news outlets, including radio stations, the ability to band together to collective bargain with Facebook and Google and other giant tech companies have so far come up too short in Congress. But another attempt to coming right into the Silicon Valley's backyard is California Assemblymember Buffy Wakestep is proposing a state-level version bill that directs big tech companies to pay publishers a journalism usage fee, each time they use local news content and sell advertisement alongside with it. In turn, the proposal Journalism Provision Act, which is AB 886, would require news publishing to invest 70% of the profits from usage fees and journalism jobs. The CGPA provides lifetime news for news outlets large and small, ethnic, Small Ethnic by directing a portion of the ad dollars back into the digital print, digital, and broadcast media that bears entire cost of gathering and reporting local news, while Big Tech bears none, Wick said. This dominate digital ad companies are enriching their own platforms with local news content without the inquiries of compensating the organizers. It's time for they start paying market value for the journalism they are arguing at no cost from local media. Now, what does this mean? Bill recognizes the importance of local media outlets, including broadcasters, with local news gatherings and immersive of a handful of behemoth tech platforms acting as digital gatekeepers. Radios and television broadcasters support solutions and ensure local journalism and preserve these, he said. This means, this article I'm using, all the articles I've been using for the past 4 years in podcasting, meaning I have to pay these news websites for using an article that I provide you guys, the news. Comicbook.com, CNNBC, Gizmodo.com, sometimes Kotaku, but they're still a bit biased on a few things, I'm just saying. GameRant.com, all these news articles I'm providing you guys for news in this podcast, if this bill passes, and I know a few hints about it, obviously I'll give you guys one. If you guys haven't noticed, I live in California, that's where I live. If this law passes, the information I give to you guys, I have to pay a fee to use this article because I am using an article for the news to give it to you guys. I don't want to have this bill to happen, honestly, because it infringes a lot of jobs. Again, comes with an AI job, like I mentioned before. It causes jobs because we don't want to pay for articles that we use for making content. Other people are using, you know, YouTubers, content creators, people uses news articles for information. For example, Moist Critical, he uses articles from other news websites. He uses it for other content and such to talk about other stuff. Perfect example. Now if this law passes, I know he lives in Tampa, Florida. I know he lives in Florida or something like that. He hinted, but this could affect around the United States. Potentially, I'm just saying. But if this law passes, I have to pay a fee to each article I use to give you guys information. I don't want to have this law to pass, and it's very important for me to tell you guys because it could affect my job and it could affect your people that you know you enjoy listening or watching content creation, their job too. Specific people who are in California, and it could potentially affect the United States too. And this bill is going to Congress. What I really recommend you guys do is to, you know, spread the word, spread as much as possible about this situation. Talk to your local government representative, your local senator, governor, any government representative about this bill. Anything, especially if you live in California. Talk about this bill. Spread the message. Tell them do not have any Congress pass this bill. There's many people who have jobs that made content creation based on newsworthy, like IGN or again, Kotaku of all people, whatever, the news and article or such. Radio broadcasts. This also goes for digital ones, like making YouTube videos off of an article or making a podcast such as myself to use an article for information. This is very important to be aware of, honestly. So I recommend all you guys to please talk to representatives, talk anyone here to at least try to prevent the bill people who use articles to pay a fee to use them, honestly. For example, all the information I give you guys for this episode, like so far 3 or 4 if you count this one, I have to pay a fee for each article I use in this episode. I don't know what fee they're gonna have, but for using this article for me mentioning it to you guys. I don't know what fee it is, but as long as it's cheap, that's for me. But I prefer to have all these things for free and have the internet be more open world and open space and all that sort of stuff, honestly. This is terrible. This is very terrible. It could affect anyone else. It could even affect you if you want to make a consecration on using, having news or any information you like to provide. This could affect you guys, any potential creators. So, recommend it. Try to prevent this bill to be passed. I forgot what the name of the bill is. The vision of a bill that the receipts of money. In the term, the proposed California Journalist Prevention Act AB requires news publishers 70% of the profits and uses. Yeah, it's called the California Journalism Prevention Act. So, really recommend it. Stop the California Journalism Prevention Act to go in from fruition, to be passed by that bill. I recommend it. Spread the word. I'm surely gonna spread the word as well. Not a lot of people are talking about this. That is a shame. And I really recommend all you guys to spread the word. So that's the least thing I could tell you guys in return for giving us entertainment, is to please let people know about this potential harm for any content creation, including myself, and try to prevent this bill from happening. I really recommend it, and it'll be very nice for you guys to do so. I really am not gonna lose my job, or at least having my job being permission from a single paper bill, because journalism are very power hungry for more money. And that's just the reality of things. Now, that's it for today's news, everyone. Hope you guys liked today's episode so far. Make sure you guys follow our official Twitter account, that's Animation9010. Animation9010 for more news and stuff over there as well. I also like to make an announcement as well. Now, I mentioned about AI usage. You guys might call me hypocrites. Call me as you want. I understand, but this is more of a joke or something like that. I've created another podcast, which is more of a fun podcast. It's called the AI Presidential Room. So what this other podcast is about is basically me using. So I use 11 Labs, which is 11 Labs is basically an AI voice cloning program where you take samples of someone's voices from a video or a recording, and you use those samples of voices to mimic and as an accurate voice as possible. For me, in this podcast, I did some dumb fun where I have the four presidents, Obama, Trump, Biden, and George Bush, to see some funny stuff, nothing radical, nothing things that could potentially destroy the country or whatever. Just them talking about like stupid stuff like Resident Evil 4 remake, or complaining about the new Fortnite Battle Pass season or something like that. All that stupid stuff. Nothing harmful to be done. And I created this podcast yesterday because I want to have something fun on the side. And that podcast is going to be very fun, very funny. I'm just still using the AI stuff for the podcast, mostly with AI voice cloning stuff already. So it should be fun. So episode 1 is already out on the AI Presidential Room. That is A.I. Presidential Room. You guys should be able to see that. Episode 1 is already out. So I really recommend you guys see what I created so far. So I recommend you guys go over there as well to check it out. So I'm glad it's been funny and able to use that sort of stuff to just make content right there. So this is Animation Nation. I'm your host, Prime Time here. Hopefully I get to see you guys next week for more information and news so far. So have a wonderful day and stay safe. Goodbye.